And we will look at Psalm 119, verses 17 to 24, if you turn to that. And hopefully we'll take a look at a lot of other scriptures to back this up. And the word is gimel from the Hebrew alphabet, and I don't know Hebrew, don't pretend to. So I looked it up on a chart, and the symbol, the ancient symbol, was that of a foot. And it's kind of like, looks like a check mark, and I could just picture it as you're striding. And the meaning is to walk or to gather. And I like to think of these sections as having a lens through which God would have us to memorize or remember His Word. So to walk in this section is kind of the lens I wanted to use as we look at each verse. And he says, verse 17, deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live and keep thy word. And I just want to look at some supporting references. John 10:10, the Lord Jesus says, I came that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly. In Colossians chapter 3, he says, verse 22 and 24, through 24, servants, in all things obey your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. And in dealing bountifully with his servant, wherever we're in applying our lives, we should be giving God glory. We should be doing it with all our might, because that's our spiritual act of worship. It's not just when we're gathering Sunday, but moment by moment, all that I do. He says, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Well, if we hold our breath long enough, we'll pass out. And I think it's like breathing. Prayer ought to be our character in whatever we're doing. So this was kind of an uncomfortable thought this morning, James 1, in light of how he deals bountifully with his servant. I thought of Job and things that Job went through. God blessed Job, but I wouldn't pray that I'd be like Job. I don't want to go through the trials of Job. James 1, verse 2, it says, my brethren, and you think, James, do you need to see a psychiatrist? My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. It's kind of difficult to find joy in our trials. But he says, verse 3, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. And as we walk with the Lord, so many things come in to distract us and to keep us from keeping the second half of verse 17. That I may live and keep your word. There's things that want to distract. And I think as I'm reading through each of these perspectives, it's about his testimonies and his statutes, his commandments, each verse. And a friend of mine memorized Psalm 119. I don't know how he keeps it straight. But I'm thinking, who can measure up? You know, as I'm going through Exodus and Israel is saying, well, everything God's commanded us, we will do. And the next thing they're doing is making a golden calf. And it's like, boy, we don't have it within us. Who can do all of these things to keep his commandments? Verse 18, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. You know, our eye is a window to our soul, and we get distracted with so much around us that wants to take possession of us. And I think, well, the Lord Jesus is that one that set the example. He's the only one. Philippians 2, verse 4. We fall so far short, and he is the one, you know, the great high priest. Oh, come on, Mark. There we go. Philippians 2, 4 through 7. I think what a great example of humility. The God of eternity, we've been in Genesis and hearing about the Lord who made all things. All things consist by him. Without him, nothing exists. And verse 2, it's chapter 2, verse 4. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which also is in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in likeness of men. And being in fashion, found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. And I think, you know, for each of us, as we see who he is, verse 18 of Psalm 119, open thou mine eyes. You know, we need to have eyes that are open. He talks about those that have eyes and cannot see, and they have ears and they cannot hear. And as we spend time in his word and we're on our knees, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I remember my little girl, she's now 37, she was teasing me and she said, Dad, what's with your wrinkles? And I said, well, those are my wonder wrinkles. When I'm reading the word, it's like, oh. And then these other wrinkles, those were my happy wrinkles when the Lord gave me joy in what I was seeing. Romans 11, verse 8. So we should thrill at his word. It says, according as it is written, God has given them a spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear unto this day. And I don't want to be one that, you know, as I'm at work, I have the opportunity, I run machinery, I can listen to the Word of God, and I'm hearing it, but I'm not, it's not retaining. I don't want to be the Teflon guy. Chapter 1 of Romans. I'm hoping it sticks, you know, and we all have been there. Verse 19, Romans 1. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has shown it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. And it's, again, open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law, the depths of his word. And to see, you know, just to marvel at what he has made. And as we look at one another, to be a marvel. And I think of Abraham in Hebrews 11, where it's the faithful. And he was looking for a city whose God, whose make, builder and maker was God. He knew he was a stranger. And verse 19, it continues into that. I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. And that, you know, as we spend time with the Lord, we are really aware we just don't fit here. We make every effort, you know, to minister to those around us and to relate, but we definitely are different. And with Abraham, we can say we're pilgrims and strangers. Verse 20, my soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments at all times. And I think as we are walking with him, you know, that was Lot in Sodom and Gomorrah. It says that his righteous soul was vexed because of the conduct of the city. In Abraham, he interceded on behalf of Sodom and Gomorrah. And he says, shall not the God, the judge of all things, do what's right? Because he saw that there was a conflict, and he knew God would not destroy the righteous with the wicked. And I trust that as we are making a difference in our society, that we're withholding oftentimes what we would perceive maybe to be the wrath of God on those around us. Verse 21, thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from thy commandments. And I think we are, we're often finding that God chastens us because we're under the curse. We're the children of Adam and Adam's fallen nature. My brother was dying of AIDS back in 1994, and as we were driving back from the hospice, I told my little ones, I too had given them a disease that they would die from. And I said, it's called S-I-N, not AIDS. And my oldest was thinking about it. She might have been 10. And she reached up and slugged me. Dad, you're scaring us. I said, well, it's true. You know, AIDS was like fire. Sin is going to be like rust. It's all consuming. We all perish. And God is so faithful to rebuke and to correct us because we have been under a curse. But he wants to bring us under his blessing. Verse 22. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies. And I thought, well, God is a great physician. He can heal this cancer on our part. And it's our response to be repentant, to not continue in that. And look at Romans 5. Verse 1, Romans 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Our hope is not in us, not anything we're able to do, but our justification, our hope, and our peace is through our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that took upon himself our guilt and our curse so that we could be blessed. And then in Romans 8, verses 1 to 4, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. So God's, verse 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Again, it's this meditation of, and the lens of walking with the Lord. Verse 22, remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies. And the Lord Jesus, he has kept all of God's testimonies. Day by day, I see my failure, but I have one that I can find as my advocate. And that leads us into verse 23. Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. And I think of how in Job, Satan came before God and he made accusations against Job. And in Revelation, it tells us in verse 12 that he's the accuser of the brethren and he's going to be cast down. And then in 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. He says, 1 John chapter 2. Verse 2 also. My little children, these things write unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. So he is this one that stands when there's princes. The prince of darkness is accusing us before God. He's the one that has stood in on our behalf and advocates for us. And finally, verse 24, thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. And I thought of Proverbs 18:10, where he says, his word is a strong tower, and the righteous can flee into it. And in Romans 15, verse 4, Romans 15:4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. So our Lord Jesus is the one that is the testimony, and he is our delight and our counselor. And we want to flee to him and find our comfort in him as we walk day by day. And that's my thought.